We live on a dynamic and beautiful planet. Consider the majestic mountains, the sights and sounds of babbling brooks, and verdant valleys nestled between mountain peaks. There are beautiful glacier-fed lakes, tropical islands, prairies, and plains. Our planet is divided by terrain, temperature, and soil type for growing an amazing variety of foods. Rice, wheat, and corn. Citrus fruits, almonds, and walnut trees. Mangoes, papayas, coconuts, and oh, so much more. We're refreshed by afternoon showers that clean the air and give needed water for crops and flowering plants of all kinds. We're intrigued and sometimes frightened when huge thunder and lightning storms pass over us, occasionally accompanied by tornadoes or powerful straight-line winds. Volcanic eruptions are beautiful and awe-inspiring, but they can be destructive and deadly. Hurricanes rip apart homes and disrupt lives, as do floods and earthquakes. How do we make sense of such a dynamic planet? If God is a loving God, how do we explain so-called natural disasters? Why does He allow disruption, destruction, and desolation, often resulting in sorrow? On this Tomorrow's World program, I'll give you the answers, and I'll also be offering our totally free resource, Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. This resource gives more information than I have time to cover on today's program. So be sure to have writing material available to take down our contact information to receive a free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. A warm welcome to all of you from all of us here at Tomorrow's World, where we bring you the good news of the coming kingdom of God, explain end-time prophecies, and make sense of the world in which we live. On today's program, I'm discussing natural disasters, why they occur, and what God reveals about some in our future. As explained in the short introduction, we live on an amazing planet. So much so that we could have 1,000 programs on the topography, the natural resources, and the diversity of life, the flora and fauna in the waters and on the land. But let us look at one thing we often take for granted, and that is water. It's both the source for life and a destructive force. Have you noticed how scientists and science writers look for evidence of water as they explore other planets, primarily Mars? They know that life as we know it is impossible without it. Many have swallowed the idea that if there is water, there may be life. Of course, this fails to take into account the complexity of life and how it is mathematically impossible to create life from non-living material. Michael Denton pulls the cover off the idea of a simple cell when he wrote, "Although the tiniest bacterial cells are incredibly small, each is, in effect, a veritable micro-miniaturized factory containing thousands of exquisitely designed pieces of intricate molecular machinery, far more complicated than any machine built by man and absolutely without parallel in the non-living world. The complexity of the simplest known type of cell is so great that it is impossible to accept that such an object could have been thrown together suddenly by some kind of freakish, vastly improbable event. Such an occurrence would be indistinguishable from a miracle." The creation of life needs more than water, but water is far more important to life than merely quenching our thirst. Perhaps you have wondered why so much of our planet is covered by oceans composed of salt water, which is not fit as it is for our drinking. The oceans make up approximately 70% of our planet. But do you realize how important these bodies of water are? The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, also known as NOAA, informs us of their many benefits. Here are only a few. Scientists estimate that roughly half of the oxygen production on Earth comes from the ocean. The majority of this production is from oceanic plankton, drifting plants, algae, and some bacteria that can photosynthesize. One particular species, Diplocorococcus is the smallest photosynthetic organism on Earth. But this little bacteria produces up to 20% of the oxygen in our entire biosphere. That's a higher percentage than all of the tropical rainforests on land combined. Wow! Half our oxygen comes from the oceans, and 20% of total oxygen comes from one tiny organism. In addition to pumping oxygen into the atmosphere, NOAA explains that our oceans moderate global temperatures by transporting heat from the equator to the poles, regulating climate and weather patterns. The ocean's water is constantly circulated by currents. Tidal currents occur close to shore and are influenced by the sun and moon. Surface currents are influenced by the wind. However, other much slower currents that occur from the surface to the seafloor are driven by changes in the saltiness and ocean temperature, a process called thermohaline circulation. These currents are carried in a large global conveyor belt. This circulation brings warmth to various parts of the globe and also carries nutrients necessary to sustain ocean life. The circulation process begins as warm water near the surface moves toward the poles, such as the Gulf Stream in the North Atlantic, where it cools and forms sea ice. As this ice forms, salt is left behind in the ocean water. Due to the large amount of salt in the water, it becomes denser, sinks down, and is carried southwards in the depths below. Eventually, the water gets pulled back up towards the surface and warms up in a process called upwelling, completing the cycle. There are many more critical, life-sustaining benefits provided by our oceans. Huge amounts of water evaporate, forming clouds that drift over land and provide needed rain. And consider the massive amount of food that comes from our oceans. But our oceans are not always so benevolent. They sometimes produce storms that cause great destruction in the form of hurricanes and cyclones. And when undersea earthquakes occur, they can produce devastation on a grand scale. In less than 10 years, the world experienced two tsunamis. The first in 2004 killed more than 250,000 people along coastal Indian Ocean areas. The second was in Japan, which took as many as 20,000 lives in 2011. Why, if God is a God of love, does He allow such powerful forces on this planet? Can He not prevent them? Or is all this a matter of chance? Those questions are answered in our free resource, Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. This resource explains why a God of love allows natural disasters and, yes, even causes some. You need this resource because no matter where you live, a natural disaster can come your way. In fact, according to the Bible, more than one will come our way. Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, is like no other resource on this subject. While science can explain the how, the processes by which storms, earthquakes, tsunamis, and volcanoes occur, science cannot explain the why. For that, we must turn to the only source that explains why the universe exists, what man is, and what is God's purpose for him. This free resource, Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, points you to the answers to these important questions, straight from the pages of the Bible.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531 or go to twtv.org/disasters. This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. If you're calling for the first time, you will also receive a free annual subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, 6 inspiring issues discussing news, science, and modern culture will help you make sense of your world from a biblical perspective. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to Tomorrow's World for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. Call now or go to twtv.org/disasters.
So far, we've noted that our home here on Earth is beautiful and diverse. How different it is from any other celestial object we've been able to observe. Its oceans, its temperature range, its 24-hour day divided into light and darkness, all shout the message that this planet was made for life. Not life as a result of chance, but life by design. But as we have also noted, there are powerful forces that bring devastation and disaster. Volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, hurricanes and cyclones, droughts and floods, fires and tornadoes. The question is, if God is a loving creator, why do we see such contrast on earth between the beautiful and the ugly, the beneficial and the destructive? To answer that question, we must go back to the beginning. The Bible tells us that our first parents were placed in a beautiful garden filled with wonderful foods of all sorts. Man was made in God's likeness and image for a grand purpose. He was given a mind to think, to reason, to invent and innovate, to make decisions far above what any animal kind can do. But these decisions go beyond how to make and construct. Mankind must make decisions on how to relate to others. In other words, moral decisions. Adam and Eve were thus tested to see whether they would trust God's judgment as to what is good and what is evil, or whether to strike out on their own and determine good and evil for themselves. Adam, who was not deceived by the serpent, chose the latter, and mankind has been doing the same ever since. As a result, God said, in effect, "You want to do it your own way? Have at it. But don't expect me to bail you out of every jam you get yourself into." However, despite our rebellion, God does care for all of his potential children. Note what Jesus said as recorded by Matthew in the 5th chapter, beginning verse 44. "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he, that is God, makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Yes, God even gives rain to the unjust. He has not left our environment totally to chance. But notice also that God does manipulate our weather from time to time based on our behavior. To Israel, he said in Leviticus, the 26th chapter, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely." Can we not see that the God who created the entire universe can change weather patterns for the good, that is, if we obey him, but also withhold the good if we despise him? Here's the result of the latter in verse 14. "But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you." Now, the first thing he said would happen is that he would give his people over to terrorism and disease epidemics. But also, notice verse 19, "I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit." Or as we read in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, in verse 24, "The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed." We see that God makes it possible for the righteous and the unrighteous to survive on earth, giving sun and rain to produce food for man and beast alike. Yet as we are beginning to see, he does manipulate weather for his purposes. In the next portion of this program, we'll see that so-called natural disasters, according to the Bible, are indeed in our future. But first, let me take a short break to remind you of today's free offer. Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. The scriptures given in this program and many more will point you to mankind's destiny in the very near future. This resource explains why a God of love allows natural disasters and, yes, even causes some. It's one thing to know what is coming, but more importantly, to know why these disasters are coming. So order your free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. All you have to do is pick up the phone or go to our website, twtv.org/disasters, to receive your free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. And do it today. And when I return, I'll show you from the pages of the Bible what God foretold about catastrophic events that will soon strike our planet.
This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. Call now or go to twtv.org/disasters.
Our Creator has given mankind a home on planet Earth that is beautiful and dynamic. Our home is teeming with life forms of every sort, soaring birds, fleet-footed animals, and creatures that live in our waters. Then there is plant life coming in all colors and sizes. We're overwhelmed by the natural process of mountains and islands being formed by volcanic activity. We're awed by lightning and thunderstorms. But volcanoes, severe storms, earthquakes, floods, and droughts can be frightening and devastating. So I have asked the question, if God is a God of love, why does He allow such destructive forces to plague mankind? As we've already seen, it's man that has rejected God and essentially said, God, leave us alone, don't tell us what to do. And so he has. But we've also seen that he hasn't left us entirely alone. He makes the sun shine and the rain to come upon both the just and the unjust. We've also seen that he blesses those who strive to obey him with rain in due season. But he directs unfavorable weather patterns upon those who despise his commandments. In this portion of today's program, we'll see that God will use disasters of unimaginable proportions in the very near future to get our attention. The book of Revelation describes a number of so-called natural disasters. Revelation describes a scroll sealed with seven seals. And when the seventh seal is opened, seven angels are given seven trumpet plagues to blow upon the earth. Now let's look at three of them. We read of the first disaster in chapter 8 and in verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now it's difficult for us to know the precise means of this disaster, but it will be of God and will be devastating beyond what the world has ever known. The second disaster may be more easily defined. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. This would appear to be a supervolcano, a mountain exploding and tossed into the sea. We may even speculate that it will be one of the known or currently unrecognized supervolcanoes in or around the geologically volatile South China Sea, as it would have to be near busy shipping lanes. Now note this. The United Nations Conference on Trade and Development estimates that roughly 80% of global trade by volume and 70% by value is transported by sea. Of that volume, 60% of maritime trade passes through Asia, with the South China Sea carrying an estimated one-third of global shipping. Its waters are particularly critical for China, Taiwan, Japan, and South Korea, all of which rely on the Strait of Malacca, which connects the South China Sea and, by extension, the Pacific Ocean with the Indian Ocean. The next natural disaster is described in verse 10. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. We often refer to a meteor as a shooting star. Scientists know that many large meteors and asteroids cross Earth's path on a regular basis. A few have struck the Earth with devastating effect in the past, but God has protected our planet for our sake. However, according to this passage of Scripture, a large asteroid striking the Earth appears to be in our future. The Bible has much more to contribute to our understanding of natural disasters, and that is the reason that we are offering a free resource that explains why a loving God allows, and at times even causes, terrible disasters to occur on Earth. Yes, there are powerful forces that affect our planet, but there is a God who controls whether and when they strike mankind. They remind us that we are not nearly as much in control of our lives as we sometimes think we are. People who pay little attention to God cry out to Him for help when they are knocked off their feet in an earthquake. Our resource, Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, explains why God allows these forces to afflict mankind. And it can be yours free of charge. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call the toll-free number shown on your screen. Or go to our website, twtv.org/disasters, to receive your free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. It's just that simple. After this short break, I'll show you that the Bible also gives good news on this subject for our future.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531. Or go to twtv.org/disasters. This clear and straightforward resource will help you understand this vital truth straight from the pages of the Bible. If you're calling for the first time, you will also receive a free annual subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, 6 inspiring issues discussing news, science, and modern culture will help you make sense of your world from a biblical perspective. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to Tomorrow's World for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. Call now or go to twtv.org/disasters.
So-called natural disasters have been a part of mankind's experience from the beginning. Some of these are the result of a dynamically changing planet. Some are the result of time and chance upon humanity, the result of our rejection of God. But as shown in the previous segment of this program, there are great calamities in our future, and those disasters will not be so natural. However, there is good news regarding the future. There is coming a time when rain will come in due season, when God will protect His creation from devastating floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, and tornadoes. Quoting from Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters, could God stop natural disasters? Could He give adequate warning so people could get out of the way while He builds a new island or mountain? Could He direct the wind to take a course away from His children? The obvious answer to anyone who truly knows God is, of course He could. Who created the dirt under our feet? Who created the law of gravity, the strong force and the weak force? Cannot the God who created the universe and life on this planet protect us? So why do these things happen now? Our resource continues. Scientists understand that our universe did not always exist. So how did it come to be? We are so arrogant, we conclude that it all happened by chance. So God is allowing us to live in a world of chance. The disasters that time and chance throw at us should get our attention. But sadly, our attention span is short. But God will get our attention. When we come to the end of our rope, Jesus Christ will return to save us from ourselves, as explained in Zechariah the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 4. And in that day, His feet, the Messiah, that is Jesus Christ, will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Following that earthquake, a river of living waters will flow both east and west from Jerusalem and bring healing to today's polluted seas and rivers. Ezekiel describes this river, obviously also a type of God's healing spirit, flowing out to heal our damaged planet. Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, and in verse 8. Then he said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." Isaiah describes a future time of climate change, when today's deserts and wildernesses will be transformed. Notice it in Isaiah 35 and verse 6. "For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes." Isaiah continues a few chapters later, Isaiah 41 and verse 18. "I will open rivers in desolate heights, and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel has created it." The God who created the universe and our tiny planet in it is more than capable of controlling the forces that shape this earth. He's given us time to prove to ourselves that our ways do not work. He's allowed us to live by time and chance, to remind us that we are not as high and mighty as we think. But once he gets our attention, he will show us how things could have been from the beginning if we had chosen to trust him. Be sure to order your free copy of Acts of God, Why Natural Disasters. And be sure to come back next week when Richard Ames, Wallace Smith, Rod McNair, and I explain the prophecies of the Bible, proclaim the good news of Christ's coming kingdom, and help you understand the world in which we live today. See you next time.
For today's free offer, call 1-800-236-0531. Or go to twtv.org/disasters. Call today and join millions around the world who are turning to tomorrow's world for truth, prophecy, and hope in these confusing times. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.